Chapter 1. What is Chan? The Chan we are talking about here is neither the Dhyana Paramita, as delineated in the six Paramitas, nor the eight states of meditative concentration pertaining to the four Dhyana heavens, but, specifically, what is advocated by the Chan school. Having said that, the Chan advocated by the Chan school is at the same time not different from the Dhyana Paramita of the six Paramitas and the eight states of meditative concentration pertaining to the four Dhyana heavens. There is a well-known four-line aphorism in the Chan school, which says, a separate transmission outside the doctrinal teachings, not established in words, directly points to the mind. Seeing intrinsic nature is Buddhahood accomplished. If the Chan school is a transmission outside the normal teaching of the doctrine and not established in words, then why do we still have to talk about it? The reason is that without the help of language or words, it would be extremely difficult to enter the door of Chan. That is why the sixth patriarch explains thus in the Platform Sutra. When we say not established in words, the expression not established is already composed of two words. Therefore, what is meant by not established in words is actually to not be attached to words, while at the same time not depart from words. Language and words would have to be employed as the finger pointing to the moon. The function of language and words is to let us see the moon being pointed at by the finger. The finger being no more once the moon is seen. As for the origin of Chan, I would like to elaborate with regard to two reference points. Firstly, India, and secondly, China. The origin of Chan in India refers to the time of the Buddha's last days approaching his parinirvana. While at an assembly on Vulture Peak one day, the Buddha picked up a flower and held it in his hand for all the assemblage to see, be they human or celestial beings. Many of those present could not figure out what the Buddha meant by the gesture. At this very juncture, Elder Mahakala Tsayapa smiled, at which instant the Buddha said, the right Dharma eye, that is my treasure store, the wondrous mind of Nirvana, the absolute reality that is without form, this amazing method, Dharma Paraya, that is not established in words, but transmitted outside the teaching, is imparted to Mahakaya Tsayapa. That is the origin of Chan referred to by the Chan school. The above recorded case peculiar to Chan, that is separately transmitted outside the doctrinal teachings, not established in words, should not be viewed through present-day academic, historical, or investigated perspectives. Whether the cited incident actually took place is unrelated to Chan itself, simply because what Chan elucidates is neither history nor legend. And even if it was a historical fact, it cannot explicate Chan. Such a recorded case of the Buddha displaying a flower in his hand is the origin of Chan in India. Elder Mahakaha Sayapa became the first patriarch of what is referred to as Tathagata Chan, a lineage which continued to be transmitted for generations until it reached Bodhidharma, the 28th patriarch. As the 28th patriarch of Tathagata Chan, Bodhidharma was also the progenitor of what is referred to in China as Patriarch Chan, and he experienced much hardship in his mission to propagate the Dharma in China. The spread of Chinese Buddhist doctrines was in its heyday when Bodhidharma came to China. At that time, a system of Buddhist thought was already solidly in place in China, and such an environment posed great difficulty for Bodhidharma to disseminate the Chan which is outside the doctrinal teachings, not established in words. His encounter in Nanjing with Emperor Wu of Langwudi only exposed their dissonance, and without further cause to stay, Bodhidharma headed north along the route of Chang'an for Mount Song in Henan. On Mount Song, Bodhidharma spent 9 years in meditative practice, sitting facing the cave wall and waiting for just one person to approach him. This indicates how difficult it was to propagate the Chan method of practice during that time. It was only after having waited for 9 years that a monk called Chen Guang came to Mount Song to seek the patriarch's advice on how to settle the mind and thereafter become his follower. This is a recorded case that you might already be familiar with. Having learned the way to settle his mind, Chen Guang, who was later given the name Hui Ke by Bodhidharma, subsequently became the second patriarch. This was the beginning of the Chan school in China. After more than 200 years of transmission, the Chan lineage reached Huineng, the sixth patriarch. Before him, the lineage was passed down directly from one patriarch to another for 6 generations. If you wonder why it was a linear transmission restricted to a single person per generation, it was not because it was intentional. It happened the way it did because suitable persons to inherit the transmission were difficult to come by. Followers of the second, third, and fourth patriarchs, who were actually committed to the Chan method of practice, were indeed very few. The fourth patriarch was Master Daozin, who came from the Twin Peak Mountain of Huingmei in Hubei. His venue for cultivational practice is a place now known as Zhengzhu Tran Monastery, a good breeding ground for practitioners. It was not from the time of the fourth patriarch that the monastery was established as a base for propagating Chan. It is well documented that the fourth patriarch widely opened the door to welcome followers, signaling the dawn of the gradual development of Chan. Not only did the fourth patriarch initiate a new prospect for the Chan school, but he also launched a new way for the monastic's self-sustenance through farming. At that time, resources offered by lay Buddhist devotees were largely concentrated in the hands of monastics teaching the doctrines. As devotees favoring the mind transmission method were scant, the monastic community belonging to the Chan school did not have enough resources to survive on. As begging for alms was rejected in Chinese society, the only alternative means of living was through farming in the hilly regions. It was estimated that the fourth patriarch had a following of around 500, and they started to grow food crops for their own consumption. It was therefore during the period from the fourth patriarch to the sixth patriarch that the spread of Chan really flourished.